It sounds like Pink and I disagree with how close this thing is to spiraling out of control. And I think
he's looking at it through brown colored glasses, you think?
No,
Pink,
I think,
and this is not this is no disrespect to Jason, because I think his analysis is awesome, but I do think he does bring like a positive vibe to the show whenever we have him on. He tries to stay as positive as possible about the Browns.
I think he is, yeah. Like, I look at this weekend as this is either going to be the thing that we pull the nose up a little bit and maybe get to 7 wins, or this is going to be the thing.
Tough week for that.
Well, I mean, but I think that's the stakes, because I think if Shelby Harris was right in that the Browns fans, the 5% of them that cheer the injury, not 90, that's okay. If that's true, I mean, you could see the defense quit. And if the defense quit, this thing's over. If the defense starts to fall apart, or if there are guys who are mad, or if they don't want to play for the fans, there's no way you're pulling the nose up. And maybe that's the best thing for them. It also coincidentally happens to be the worst thing for Kevin Stefanski. Because if they're 1-16, 2-15, there's no way. You cannot survive that with a team that came in, no matter the Deshaun stuff. Like, I know it's so easy to just to cut the thing and go, nah, it's all Deshaun. And guys, it is so much more than just Deshaun to get to 1-6,
yeah,
to fail to the level where they are, where even just the offense looks non-functional. And the defense actually had a couple dysfunctional moments as well this year.
Yeah, I also thought, because I asked Jason about, like, if the Haslams need something to – I called it a sacrificial lamb. Maybe that was the wrong wording. I didn't mean to put him in a tough spot where he's like going to have to be critical of the Haslams or anything like that. What I was trying to get at with that question, though, was just the idea that, like, we've seen the Haslams move on from coaches for worse than or you know, for less. Like, it's I just I can't help but wonder. And we did a whole segment, Nick, talking about, like, the emotional reactions of the Haslams at times, and how they make decisions and their decision-making process, and how they listen to a homeless man in terms of drafting a quarterback at one point in 1 year. Like, that speaks to somebody who does sometimes make those rash decisions in a moment of time. So I understand what Jason's saying. Like, I don't think they would. I think cooler heads will prevail, and they look at this level-headedly. But history tells us that that's not necessarily the case. So what I was trying to get at with that question was simply just, like, is Kevin Stefanski's job on the line here? Is Andrew Berry's job on the line? Like, is somebody going to have to pay the price if this season ends with 2 wins, 3 wins in a year that was supposed to be about Super Bowls or chasing Super Bowls? Like, I understand what Jason's saying. Like, in a perfect world, yeah, like, they look at this thing rationally. They say, Kevin's done a lot for us. We don't want to move on from him, even though I guess some fans are ready to move on from him too, just like the quarterback. But at the same time, I, like, from what we know about the way this organization has made decisions before, I can't just blindly assume that Kevin Stefanski or Andrew Berry is going to be here, even though they just got contract extensions, because if this thing continues to go in the direction it's going, I do think somebody ends up being, like, losing their job in all this.
The Browns have lost 5 straight. Deshaun's season is over. What does that mean for the rest of the season? For Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin talk about it with their podcast, It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, including post-game drops. Subscribe to the podcast now at 92.3thefan.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. So, I had a weird thought today. I got my 20s on the bus today. They were dressed like Gryffindor or some such other. I know the Harry Potter movie, so I'm not going to
start wearing costumes and on the show or something.
I it's the first time I think in my adult life that I was like, I kind of wish I had something to dress up with this year. Yeah.
If you did, what would you dress up as?
I haven't even made it that far. I just had a moment, and you got to understand, like, I haven't had this moment in a long time, but I was just sitting there like, it's kind of fun. Like, I probably have been too dismissive of the idea of adults dressing up. As a matter of fact, there was a time when we lived in Charlotte when the neighborhood was going, and I said absolutely not to Vanessa because I was being a crab apple. But, like, yeah, I think in the future, I don't know if it's a show thing because, you know, I don't want to try and rip off Lebatard because I think they do that. I don't even know that's
well, yeah, their whole bit is that they do that.
Yeah, but they do it like multiple times a year,
but they
right?
do it, well, because there's like a whole game they play, like with Pixar in the NFL. When you lose, sometimes the punishment is you wear a costume. But the whole idea is that, like, they hope that they're some groundbreaking take or some groundbreaking news. Like think of me coming on the air and saying, bring on the Knicks, but I do it in a costume. Like, that's how you go super viral. That's, like, the idea.
Yeah.
So that would be kind of funny. It's honestly a good way to do it, but I agree. You can't steal.
When was the last time you dressed up?
Probably a costume party for Halloween. Like, I don't even know, maybe like 4 years ago now.
So it wasn't like, cause I, this is me, I'm projecting now. I get the sense that how things go and you can get pushed back if it's otherwise. That if Brittany wanted, it was like, you're going to be, Mufasa. She's going to be with Nairobi or whatever the mom's name was. And your little man's going to be like Simba. I totally see her shoehorning you into
that. So Brittany hates Halloween, honestly.
What?
She does not like Halloween. I'm the one who loves Halloween.
What
in our
part
household.
Of it? Does
I'm
she
like,
hate?
I like watch. She
Is does it the
dressing.
Candy?
The dressing up stuff. No, she doesn't. Okay,
but she's an attractive
she
woman.
That's like she doesn't hate Halloween. She doesn't hate Halloween from the standpoint of like, oh, get these kids out. Like, no. I mean, like,
hey, took her candy.
She hates Halloween as like an adult, where she's like, I don't like. Like adults dressing up and all that. She doesn't like doing all that.
I don't get that from the female perspective because women are cute.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
generally,
you look
that's,
cute.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, if you look like me, there's one way to go. It's Paul Bunyan.
It's funny you bring this up because I was thinking about this a couple weeks ago. Like, I wish I had a friend who, like, regularly had a Halloween party so that I could just, like, I don't do, like, the whole, like, furry thing where I'm dressing up just randomly and going, you don't know what the, Mac's looking at me
did
like
you
I'm crazy.
You just said the furry thing?
Yeah.
Where did we go from Halloween
you
to
know
furries?
How, because furries are people who dress up in costume, like, year-round. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm saying that's not what I'm asking for.
Okay.
I'm saying
well, thank God.
The idea of going to, like, a Halloween party is something that I would want to do and, like, dress up for that. Like, I think that's fun. And I wish I had a friend who had a Halloween party that I could do that with every single year, but we don't really have that friend in our friend group, unfortunately. But like Brittany is glad we don't have that friend because she doesn't want to have to dress up in any capacity.
I will say it feels like we kind of just stumbled across that you might secretly be into the furry thing, and that was like you kind of throwing it out there, testing the waters.
Yeah, every year
were.
I take off that random week when Pittsburgh's hosting the furry convention, and I'm just not around. You know?
I think it makes a lot of sense. We're gonna have to start tracking your PTO. No, it's bewildering because Vanessa's always – because, again, especially cute women. My wife is very beautiful, loves to dress up for it. And I've been such a holdout.
So when was the last time you guys dressed up? Like, did, like, a couple's costume?
Oh, it had to have been before the kids.
So
we're
it's been
both
even longer
us.
For you, yeah.
Vanessa – I mean, Vanessa every couple of years will concoct something to go out in. But it has been – I mean, 2009, maybe 2010, because I think that's – Livy was just born. No, it wasn't 2010. Nope. And now all of a sudden I'm like –
I was in college then.
But here's the problem. I can't just go to Spirit Halloween because they don't have them for big people. And so I need like a big and tall like Spirit Halloween or like Spirit Halloween for fatties.
So my – you might be onto something there.
Huh?
Costume store.
Business idea?
For
fatties.
No, so my
– Fatties and
my
furs.
My dad was always in sales for – like he worked at like Nabisco and like these different companies where like was like food-related companies. And at some point during his time working at Nabisco or something, he got given this free costume that's just this massive plastic Mr. Peanut costume.
Yeah.
And so he used to wear it when we were like a little bit older but still old enough that we were trick-or-treating. And he would just walk around and embarrass us in this Mr. Peanut costume. People would be like, who the hell is in there? They thought it was the greatest costume ever. And so we've passed it around from like different members of our family. I think my uncle has it right now or something. So I look forward to getting that back and wearing it to embarrass my kids one day when they go trick-or-treating.
See, like that's what I would wear.
Yeah. That's like, the it's a funny thing that we've now started in our family.
But again,
and my wife would Brittany would hate it. She'd say, "This is stupid. Why are you doing this?" But I would think it's
funnier.
Absolutely hilarious.
That's even funnier. I will say though, if because people say like, "Well, why don't you just order it off Amazon?" Fat people don't order clothes online that we can't try out because we can't trust clothiers to actually live up to the sizing charts that they put on there. That's why. So I think. If anybody out there is going to open it up, 15% of sales. Spirit Halloween for fatties.
When I get this Mr. Peanut costume eventually, I'll let you – you can – we can – I'll let you borrow it.
Okay. I'm not going to those parties, Spencer.
Oh, my God.
All right? I'm a married man. All right? I would be a bear in that world too because I just – there's no other animal that kind of fits this. It's just – it's a non-starter for me.
All I meant was you can borrow the costume.
Yeah, of course.
That's all.
Sure. Sure, of course. Yeah. I'm sure you mean that forever.